My message to you now. And my scripture is in 1 Samuel. So go toward the first part of the Bible, Old Testament. 1 Samuel 9 and starting at 1. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abel, the son of Zeror, the son of Becherath, the son of Aphiah, the son of a Benjamite, a mighty man of valor. He had a son whose name was Saul, a choice and handsome man, and there was not a more handsome person than he among the sons of Israel. From his shoulders and up, he was taller than any of the people. Now the donkeys of Kish, Paul's father, were lost. So Kish said to his son Saul, "Take now with you one of the servants and arise and go search for the donkeys." And let's skip to verse 15 of 1 Samuel 9. Now a day before Saul's coming, the Lord had revealed this to Samuel, saying, "About this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him to be prince over my people Israel. And he will deliver my people from the land of the Philistines, from the hand of the Philistines. For I have regarded my people because their cry has come to me." When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, "Behold, the man of whom I spoke to you, this one shall rule over my people." Then Saul approached Samuel in the gate and said, "Please tell me where the seer's house is." Samuel answered Saul and said, "I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today. And in the morning I will let you go and will tell you all that is on your mind. As for your donkeys, which were lost 3 days ago, do not set your mind on them, for they have been found. And for whom is all that is desirable in Israel? Is it not for you and for all your father's household?" Saul replied, "Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Why then do you speak to me in this way?" Let's bow our heads to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the guidance that you give us in all of the word that we have. And Heavenly Father, we ask today that you bless the ones that made their decision to be in your house. We ask that you bless these words and the thoughts that we will express. And we ask all of these things in the name of your loving Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And my text to you is the verse 21 of 1 Samuel 9. Saul replied, "Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Why then do you speak to me in this way?" We find in our times today, as well as many hundreds and thousands of years ago, that sometimes a person is chosen of God, that the people of that day and perhaps the person themselves would think, I should have been the least of the ones that God would have chosen to do a particular work. And Saul was to be the first king of Israel. And God chose Saul for that purpose. But we see in our scripture how Paul reacted to the word of Samuel as he received it from the Lord and brought it to Saul. We see Saul's reaction. You know, sometimes we don't recognize the voice of God. We either don't have our ears open. We perhaps don't want to hear what someone would bring to us. Perhaps we are even closed-minded to certain words that would come to us. We just don't want whatever it is that someone is bringing to us. Sometimes we just block it out. In Saul's position, Saul thought himself of himself as being pretty small. He didn't think of himself too highly. You know, sometimes we have a tendency, some of us have a tendency, to think too highly of ourselves and our abilities. And sometimes we judge ourselves and we judge others of not being worthy of God's blessings and His promises. And we sometimes judge ourselves and others of not having abilities and skills for whatever they may be involved in or be coming their way. You know, we may need to consider the life of Saul as is told in this part of the Bible. We can get some lessons from it. And part of the lessons that we can get from this has to do with sometimes we don't need to listen to our own self and our own thoughts that would come to us. Sometimes our wants, our personal wants and our desires, what we think we really want in life, what we think is important, is misplaced. Sometimes our wants and our desires get in the way of God's wants and desires for us. Sometimes we think of ourselves as being smaller and little. Probably too many of us think negatively about ourselves and our abilities and what we could do and what God perhaps has planned for us. Sometimes we don't consider that if God has a plan for us, then we can count on God to help us carry out that plan. Let's go to 1 Samuel 9 and 20. 1 Samuel 9 and 20. And this is the prophet Samuel speaking to Saul and trying to assure him as he is introduced to him. He tells him, "As for the donkeys which were lost 3 days ago, do not set your mind on them, for they have been found. And for whom is all that is desirable in Israel?" He's asking Saul a question. Who is it that is deserving of the most desirable things that God has in Israel? Is it not for you and for all your father's household? I don't think Saul could hardly believe his ears. He was of the smallest of all the 12 tribes of Israel, Benjamin. And then he knew that his own personal family was the smallest of the families in the tribe of Benjamin. And yet, this kind of attention is going to be brought to him and to his family. He couldn't believe his ears. In essence, he is saying, you know, you've got to be kidding. You have me mixed up with somebody else. But you know, the point of all of this is that it is God that is doing the picking and choosing here. It is God's plan that is going on. And Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Why then you speak to me this way? Let's go to chapter 15 and verse 17. Saul does not think much of himself or of his possibilities. He's out trying to find his father's donkeys. He's doing life each day as he normally would do it. 1 Samuel 15 and 17. And Samuel said, is it not true, though you were little in your own eyes, you were made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed you king over Israel. We don't need to listen too much to ourselves when we dwell in human thoughts and human abilities, and we leave out recognition of God that has already made choices and plans. And with God and through God's power, we can do anything. And God can bring up the smallest of the small and have them the head over everyone and the leader over everyone. Saul was one of those. What about Moses that we read about in our scripture, our Torah study this morning? Moses said to God, I'm slow to speak. And in essence, he was also saying, I don't think too quickly. I'm not eloquent in my speech. And you want me to go and talk to Pharaoh, the king of the land, the number one man here in Egypt? You want me to lead your children of Israel out of this land and arrange for this to be done with the king of Egypt? Moses thought too little of himself and his abilities. And he, in essence, told God, why choose me? I can't do this. But you know what? God told him right back after he said that he was too slow of understanding and too slow of speech. In essence, God was telling Moses, don't you know that I can help you do anything? And through me, you can do whatever I choose you to do. But you know, Moses was still a little bit stubborn and hard-headed. And in essence, didn't want to take the responsibility or still didn't think he could do it, even though the word of God was spoken to him, that he had that for him. And in essence, he could do it. So it made God a little bit disturbed at him, naturally. And God gave in. And God appointed Aaron, his brother, to do his speaking for him. Moses thought too little of himself, even with God's help. What about Elijah? Elijah was one of those powerful men of God. And he had just petitioned God to rain down fire from heaven and to burn up the sacrifice that he had went to a lot of trouble to make, to separate the one true living God from the pagan gods. And he prayed a prayer that let the one true God answer. And the pagan priest prayed to their God and no answer was given. But Elijah prayed to his God and the fire came down and consumed everything that he had made as his altar and sacrificed to God. But you know, then, as human as we are, Elijah turned right back around and heard the words of the queen of the land, Jezebel, who threatened his life. And he lost his courage. Even after God did that for him, he lost his courage. He became so little as to not be able to recognize God immediately in what he had just done and call on God for deliverance. That's what God expects us to do. Know that he is the deliverer and he will deliver, and call on him and trust him to do that. Saul, Moses, and Elijah were men, choice men of God, but yet somehow thought that they were capable of just little things compared to what God had already planned for them. Listening to ourselves rather than listening to the plans and the calling of God. We need to listen to our hearts and our minds. As long as our hearts and mind are in tune with God, and as long as the words of God has filled our hearts and minds, then we can rely on what our hearts and mind would speak to us, because the Holy Spirit will allow that we have heard and read and studied that are the words of God. The Holy Spirit will comfort us, remind us, bring these things to us. Then we can rely on listening to ourselves. But sometimes we don't allow that to happen. We listen to human thoughts, negative thoughts. We need to listen to God and recognize his voice and recognize the difference between God speaking to us in the many various ways that he brings his word to us and his will to us, and then those that are of ourself or of a human nature. We need to watch, not only listening to ourselves, but we need to watch listening to others. Why is that? Because sometimes we think too highly of other people's abilities, their influence, and we put them on too high of a place in their acceptance of us. It's sometimes important, especially to young people, that they are accepted by others and they listen to others, and sometimes place too much importance on the words and the company of what turns out to be wrong friends, wrong advice, something that you should shield your heart and mind away from, rather than accept it. Sometimes listening to others, we don't get God's advice. Sometimes it gets us in trouble. And I think even maybe nowadays for a lot of young people, listening to others, young people, is the wrong thing to do. It gets them in trouble. They need to prove everything by God's word. What they hear with their ears, they need to know what God has to say about it. We sometimes think too highly of other people's acceptance of us. And at the same time, we don't think of God's acceptance and plan for us. We don't think highly enough. We don't even think of God sometimes. We think of others. We listen to others. We block out what God has to say. Let's go to 1 Samuel 15 and verse 15. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. But the rest we have utterly destroyed. Now Saul was speaking of the people, the soldiers, the ones that went him to do what the Lord had told him to do. And Saul says, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared. Let's go to verse 21. But the people took some of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the choices of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal. This was Saul speaking, and he was speaking these words because God said, when you go fight the Amalekites, I want you to destroy every man, woman, child, servants, oxen, animals. Destroy it all. Destroy the king. Kill the king of the Amalekites. But we see here that Saul is recounting and telling to Samuel, well, we didn't quite do this, but this is what we did. And Saul is saying what we did. Verse 24, let's go down to there. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. After Samuel confronted him about it, you know, Samuel said, Saul, you didn't do what God told you to do. What I relayed unto you that God said, you didn't carry it out. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I have indeed transgressed the command of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and listened to their voice. Do you see? Paul is saying he was influenced by others, meaning other than God. He listened to others. He feared the people and what they would think and perhaps what they would do. And so he ignored what the prophet Samuel said to him that God said to do. Saul didn't do that. He listened to the people. And so we have to accept responsibility for our actions. And Paul did do that. What about Job? Remember Job? When Job was blessed of God above all men, and Job was referred to by God as a perfect man. And remember the hedge that was placed about Job? The hedge of protection. You remember the things after God removed the hedge from Job, the hedge of protection against Satan? God removed that, and things started happening to Job bad. His children were taken from him, were killed. Natural disasters occurred. He lost his wealth. He was a very wealthy man. He lost that. He lost his health. That's a lot of losing for a man that was perfect in God's sight. But God removed the hedge. And what happened when Job's friends came around to comfort Job after all of these disasters? Just as it would normally be expected today. Job's friends came around. And what was their solution to what had happened? They told Job that what had happened was a result of him having some sin in his life that God was punishing him for. Sometimes when we listen to our friends, even though good intent is there, they miss the point. They speak too much from their human side. And in this particular case, Job's friends were telling him things that was not true. He was perfect in God's sight. These things happen for God's purpose and His plan, even though harsh as they may seem. Sometimes that is the case. And if we look at it from a natural sense, whenever God told Saul to lead his people against the Amalekites and to leave nothing alive when they went into that city, don't spare the king, men, women, child, animals, everything. Destroy it all. Saul did not listen. And if you read the life of Saul, you will see how he did ultimately pay the price. And because he did not listen, immediately God took away his position. He took away the honor of being the anointed king of Israel. It was as if being king was tore away from him because of his disobedience to God. Even further than that, it was a downhill slide from that with Saul. In essence, it disconnected him from God. And then as a result, he was one of the only suicide that is recorded in the whole Old Testament, of falling on his own sword to take his life. It was a downhill slide after he did not follow the instructions, the commands of God. He listened to others. He was influenced by others wrongly, badly, because it contradicted with God. We can't allow that to happen. We shouldn't listen to ourselves in circumstances that God is not involved in. We shouldn't listen to others if they don't have God's guidance in what they do to try to help us. We should listen always to God. God speaks to us in many various ways. Through His Word, through visions, through dreams, through godly men and women and friends, through godly relatives. God can speak to us and give us His will. We need to accept, and this is what Saul should have did, we need to accept God's words exactly. He says specific words. They are exact, specific words. He expects us to do word for word, letter for letter. Accept God's word exactly. We need to obey his words precisely. And then we need to act upon his words specifically, not more and not less. The man Saul had approval by God. If we hold on to God and we keep ourselves right with him, we will have that same approval and that same recognition of him as being his children. His words let us know that you have God's blessings as a child of God and believing him and accepting him and holding on to him, being responsive to him, letting his gifts work in your heart and in your life to help not only yourself but to help others, to help bring others to the knowledge of him and bring their walk within his way. You have God's blessings. You have God's favor. Saul found favor in God. Samuel had found it before that. All the other men of God found God's favor. You have God's promises. You can rely on them. God's word says that God himself will go before you. If you are God's child and you're holding on to him, you believe in him, you have confidence in him, you are sincere in your walk with him, God will go before you in whatever you face. And whatever God leads you into, he will lead you through. If he leads you into something, he will be there with you while you're doing it. And he will lead you through. You will not fail. You will succeed. You will prevail. God's words assures that this will happen. We need to listen to the voice of God. My message to you today has to do with make sure what you're listening to when you listen to yourself. And ask how it aligns with God. Whether you are leaving out God. Has to do with listening to God. Has to do with listening to others. And it has to do with listening to God. Bottom line, we need to listen to God. We need to put him first. And the message title is Accept God's Word Above All. Stand with me in prayer.